Assemblies of God, each missionary has to raise their own support in order to get on the missions field. And we have missionaries here about once a month. We have missionaries in here telling about what they're doing, where they're going, and give you an opportunity to support them. And we have about 50 missionaries that we support on a monthly basis. Our missions budget that we give regularly is $2,200 a month that we give on a regular basis to support our missionaries around the world and at home. And we need you to commit to that so that we can keep those missionaries on the field. We're asking for $2,500 a month commitment from you this year so that we can have extra to put into projects that come up. We just got a call from a missionary this week. They're planting a church in Germany, Paul Clark, one of our missionaries. And he needs some extra funds. And if we have them available, we help them out that way. So your missions commitment is important. Please don't say this. Please don't say, well, I'll just give regularly, but I won't fill out a card. That gives your, number one, that gives your pastor heartburn. Because then I don't know how much we have to work with every month, what's going to be consistently coming in. We need you to tell us what you're going to be giving every month so that we can make our plans and support our missionaries accordingly. So we're talking about our theme this year is any place, any price. This morning we're going to be talking about any place. Of course, you're all familiar with the great commission, go and make disciples of all the world. Jesus called us to go out into the whole world and make disciples. And that's what we're doing. One of the things I'm going to challenge you with this morning is to think about maybe going yourselves. We're going to have a couple of opportunities to do that. We're going to have opportunities for us to go as a church group to missions projects around the world and do that. We're in the process of doing that again, putting that together. It's been a while since we've been on a missions trip, but we want to do that. But I'm trusting God that He is speaking to someone's heart. Maybe you're young, maybe you're not so young, about going on the mission field, that God is calling you to full-time missions ministry. We've already sent out two missionaries from this church, Lola Geary and Pam Austin. Lola is in Romania. Well, it's Moldova now. But she is in Moldova working with young people there. Pam is in Tanzania, Africa, working with children there. We are proud and pleased to support those two missionaries, those two homegrown missionaries. But I don't believe God has finished with North Point yet in raising up missionaries to go out and to spread the gospel. So I'm going to be asking you to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit as He talks to you. One of the things that we kind of emphasize on a regular basis here is our mission statement and our vision statement here at North Point. It's on the screen behind me. But I want you to know that what we're talking about is part of our mission and part of our vision here at North Point. And the part that it pertains to, you'll notice in both of those mission and vision statements, it talks about growing spiritually strong people. Now, maybe you don't think that giving is part of growing spiritually strong, but I want you to know that God wants us to be generous, faithful people with what He's given to us. Part of a spiritual maturity is a generosity that God wants to build inside of you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. We serve a giving God. He gave without reservation. He gave without any thought of how much it would cost Him. That didn't figure into the equation at all. He gave generously when He gave us Jesus. And that is the example that He sets for you and I to be givers, both to missions and to other things that are available to us to be generous about. God wants us to be generous givers. Now, Pastor, you shouldn't talk about money. There might be people here who might be offended by that. Well, you know, I don't know how you can be offended by being a generous person. I don't know how you can be offended by being called to be more generous with what God has given you. That's a good quality. That's a proper quality that every follower of Christ should have. And we need to be generous people of God. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told His disciples this. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." How many of you enjoy that power of the Holy Spirit in your life? He's a powerful Spirit, but look at where that power is directed. It says, "And you will be My witnesses." I'm going to play TV preacher here. Everybody say, witness. "You will be My witnesses, telling people about Me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus told them that they would go through the entire known world of their day in order to bring the gospel. And they did. Several of the disciples died in places like India and in places like Spain and in places like Italy, Rome, different places. That was their known world. They went as far as they could possibly go bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then some of them stayed home. Others died in Syria and in Jerusalem and in other places where they stayed home. But everywhere they went, they brought the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was their primary focus. That was what it was all about. I'm proud to be part of an organization called the Assemblies of God that goes any place at any price. We are the premier, in my humble opinion, we are the premier missions organization in the world. Thousands upon thousands of missionaries are right now doing their work. Some of them like Teen Challenge, like Chi Alpha Ministries, which we're going to hear a little bit more about in just a few moments. Some of those are here in our own backyard. Places like Barnabas House Ministry, Community Action House, Good Samaritan Ministries here in Holland. And there's just tons of places here in Holland that are worthy of our support, doing the work of the gospel, helping the poor, helping the needy, helping the hungry, offering a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus Christ. One of the ways that I do that is I'm part of the chaplain's corps at the hospital, and it helps me get out into the community. I meet people that I never would have met before. I call it frontline ministry, because just about every call that I receive that I have to go to, someone is in dire straits. They're dying. They've died. They're in terrible physical condition. They're facing crisis. All of those kinds of things. And I'm able to go in and to offer them comfort and strength in the name of Jesus Christ. That's a mission in our life. And I hope that you have found a way, an outlet, something that you can do, some way that you can touch the world for Jesus Christ. Because indeed, we are all called to be missionaries. We have a dual purpose. You can't just put money in the box and say, there, I've done my part. That's not your part. That's part of your part. And if you don't do your whole part, you're only doing part of your part, and part of your part isn't enough. We want to be complete Christians. We want to be complete followers of Jesus Christ. And so any place means we go around the world to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. We support missionaries in every part, in every continent of the globe here at North Point. We support people like Paul and Methchild Clark, who are missionaries, church planters in Germany, in that great country of Germany. Now, some of you may think Germany is a modern country. It is, if I may say so, a rather godless country. They have thousands upon thousands of churches that one time were thriving, cathedrals, some of the greatest cathedrals in the world where the Word of God was spoken, and now are museums. And Paul and Mechchild are reaching out to the people of Germany and planting churches, effective churches that are doing the work of the gospel and seeing people come to Jesus Christ. We're ministering with people like Marty and Brenda Roman in Benin, West Africa, that place where slaves came through. Sandy has a picture of her standing at the point of no return, the point of no hope, where the slave ships were loaded with Africans that were sent over all around the world to a life of slavery and degradation. That place is now hearing the gospel. Voodoo, Islam, all kinds of other religions are trying to thrive there. But the Church of Jesus Christ is building itself in that wonderful country. Marty and Brenda have inaugurated. They're not even part of it anymore because it's become so successful that it's self-sustaining. But they were taking in widows and divorced women that were outcasts of society, teaching them a trade, giving them microloans to start a business so they could become self-supporting. And they pay those loans back into the fund, which goes to other loans. It's become so successful, Marty and Brenda have been able to take their hands off it. And it's become a native-born ministry in Benin, West Africa. That's great. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing all across the world for Jesus Christ. I don't know how many of you have heard of Lillian Trasher. Anybody heard of Lillian Trasher here? A few of you have. Lillian Trasher was born in 1910. There we go. was born in 1910, and she was raised in a Roman Catholic church. One day she went to a revival meeting, and the Spirit of God touched her heart, and she became a follower of Jesus Christ in the Pentecostal tradition. After that, she went to Bible college for a little while, but then she just felt like she needed to be involved in hands-on ministry, and so she became an assistant in an orphanage in Georgia. She served there about 2 or 3 years, but she just felt like God was calling her to something greater, something different. And so she went to a revival meeting, and she felt God speak to her and say to her that she was to go to Africa and minister for her. She heard a missionary from India speaking about missions, and she felt called to Africa. That's a good mission story right there. That's the Spirit of God ministering to people's hearts and lives. And so she decided that she would go to Africa and she would start an orphanage. She didn't know how. She didn't know why. And let me tell you something about the early 1900s. Women were not encouraged to do things like that. Times were different, and it was hard to find support, and she went around and she didn't get very much encouragement at all, but she was a strong woman of faith. She knew that God had called her, and so finally she went around raising funds and got an invitation reluctantly from one of the male missionaries that was there to join him in Assuat, Egypt. When she got there, she found a young dying mother who asked her to take her baby. And she took that baby, and that was the beginning of the Lillian Trasher orphanage in Egypt. It's still going today. She went there with less than $100 in her pocket, but she trusted God. And within the first 2 years, she had 150 children given to her to take care of. She began to employ widows in the community. I believe she had 6 widows that began working with her. She found a Presbyterian hospital, another missions outreach that was there, and it agreed to treat 6 children at a time for free, so that she didn't have to have 6 children in her orphanage. By a few years later, she had doubled. She had over 300 children. A few years after that, she had 300 children. And it just began to grow. And all of it was done by faith. All of it was done by praying in God's blessings on that place. Even through the Depression years, when support dried up at home because of the economy and all of that kind of stuff that went on, Lillian never gave up faith, and she continued on doing the work that God called her to do. There were times when they had enough food for that day. Can you imagine living that way? I don't know how many of us have ever had that experience. Maybe some of you that went through the Depression had that experience. But they had just had enough food for one day, and the next day God somehow provided for them to feed those children once again. Lillian Trasher died, I think it was in 1967. But on the time that she had died, they figured that about 10,000 orphans had gone through her orphanage. Through Muslim uprisings, through political chaos, through all of those kinds of things. It was no treat to do that, but she stayed the course. She went away. Oh, one other thing that happened to her too, she had a fiancé that before she went on the mission field, she had a fiancé that they were engaged to be married, and she told him that she was called to the mission field. She was called while she was engaged. He said he didn't think that that was a very good idea, so she broke off her engagement, never married, and spent the rest of her life in Egypt serving the Lord. Those are great heroes of the faith. Any place means that we go anywhere around the world, wherever people are gathered. There's another definition to any place. Any place means wherever people groups are, wherever groups gather, university students, addicts, workplace. The Assemblies of God supports workplace chaplains that go into places where hundreds and hundreds of people are employed and offer ministry to them. Teen Challenge is one of the great outreaches that is sponsored by the Assemblies of God. David Wilkerson, the founder of Teen Challenge. How many of you ever heard of David Wilkerson? Boy, there's a scary guy. He's a prophet. He was a prophet. I'm convinced he was a true prophet of God. just so intense in the Word of God. But David Wilkerson was an Assembly of God pastor and did great things for the Assemblies of God. Now we've got the likes of Phil McLean at Western Michigan Teen Challenge and Jeff Bonsalar over in the Detroit area and other Teen Challenge directors that do a great job of reaching out to people caught in the throes of addiction right in our backyard and delivering them and offering them hope through Jesus Christ. When you give to missions at North Point, you are reaching out to those people. You're helping support them. You know, how many of you know it takes a special touch to minister to addicts? It just takes a special call of God on your life to do that. But I've watched Phil McLean weep with people that just are beyond hope. He just has a heart for them. He has a love for them, and they adore him in return. And when we support Teen Challenge in Lansing, in Western Michigan, and places like that, we are supporting the work of the gospel that goes all around the world. I want to highlight one of the most important missions outreaches that we have. We support several Chi Alpha ministries. But Chi Alpha takes its name from 2 Corinthians 5:20. It says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors." The initials in the Greek of Christ's ambassadors are Chi and Alpha. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Chi Alpha is there to reconcile students with Jesus Christ. And one of the great things about Chi Alpha that I think is absolutely amazing is that there are countries that we are not allowed to send missionaries into. They're just barred. Anything that has to do with Christianity is barred. But they're sending their students to our university campus. And there they're hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, some of them for the very first time. And they're coming to Christ and they're finding out that God is real. There's a video I want you to see about a girl whose life was touched by Chi Alpha. Let's go ahead and play that.
To Honduras, and I was able to share my faith in my own country for the first time. I was able to share my testimony and what Jesus has done in my life in front of a congregation in my own country in Spanish. I love Jesus with all of my heart. Amo Jesús con todo mi corazón.
I love that story. And it's being replicated time and time and time again across the country as Chi Alpha reaches out to these university students that come on campus. Did you notice the progression? She went from being an unbeliever, not a believer in Jesus Christ, to becoming someone that believed, was baptized, and then led someone else to Jesus Christ, and then became a leader on campus and preaching in her own hometown. That's the story of Chi Alpha, and that's great. That's a great ministry that we have. I'm convinced that Chi Alpha is going to be one of the great evangelistic opportunities that we have in the Assemblies of God. Well, we mean by any place, we go around the world. It means we spread the word at home. But also it means that we are committing ourselves to be gospel presenters in our own world. Maybe you have friends, maybe you have neighbors, maybe you have family, maybe you have co-workers that need to know about Jesus Christ. I don't want us just to be missionary senders. I want us to become missionaries ourselves, telling others about the gospel of Jesus Christ, praying for those in need. And if you've come here any length of time, you probably know what I'm going to say. But one of the greatest ways that you can present the gospel to someone else is by saying just five little words, "Can I pray for you?" Every one of us can say that. As a matter of fact, let's say that together, all right? Can I pray for you? You're presenting the love of Jesus Christ when you do that. When you ask that question, "Can I pray for you?" you're saying, "I care about you. I care about your needs, and I serve a God that cares about your needs, and He wants to see your life become given to Him. So can I pray for you?" Simple. It's simple. Witnessing is easier than you give it credit for. You don't have to memorize anything but five words. "Can I pray for you?" Did you get it yet? Have I said it enough? Can I pray for you? That's God's plan for your life, is to be a prayer warrior and to pray for them. And if the circumstances warrant it and if they're agreeable to it, you can pray for them right there. Just right at that point of contact. And just, you know, you don't have to make a big show about it. I'll never forget, in Bible college one year, we had a student from, it was an African nation, I don't remember which one. But we were in a pizza place together, and it was his first time with us, and we got our food, and like good Bible college students do, we prayed over our pizza before we ate it. And so we asked our friend, our new friend, "Would you pray over the pizza, please, before we eat it?" And he said, "Yes, I would be glad to do that." And so he got up and he went like this. He went, "Attention, we are going to pray. Would you pray with us?" And then he prayed, and he prayed loud, and he prayed long. But he was bold about his faith. He was bold about his commitment to Jesus Christ. And the crazy thing was, just about everybody bowed their head and prayed. You know what? If you get turned down when you're offering prayer, that is unusual. It is extremely unusual for people to say, "No, don't pray for me." They've got a problem somewhere. They've got something, issue that they're dealing with, and then you can go pray for them anyway when they're not there. But just pray with somebody. Be a missionary. Be someone that tells others about Jesus Christ. We have put in the bulletin this week, we did put this in the bulletin this week, didn't we? A missions pledge commitment card. Now, I don't want you to fill it out now. We're going to collect them on the 30th, is it? The last Sunday of the month, Pastor Dean Elliott, Reverend Dean Elliott, is going to be with us preaching that service. Great missionary to India, and he's involved with a project there that you're just going to be excited to hear about. But we're going to collect them that Sunday. But what I want you to do is to begin praying and asking God, "Lord, what can I do for missions this year?" Maybe you didn't give anything to missions this year. I want you to give something to missions this year. I want you to make a commitment and see what God does with that commitment that you make to Him. One of the things about this pledge card, I want you to know, no one is ever going to call you and say, "Hey, you missed your pledge this month. Where is it?" This is between you and God. We use it for planning purposes so that we can tell our missionaries, yes, we can continue to support you. We've got a commitment to that level. But this commitment is between you and God. It's not between you and me. It's between you and God. But we want you to pray about it. We want you to hear what God has to say. Because I believe that if you go to God, He's going to tell you something that I can't tell you. He's going to speak to your heart. He will lead you in the paths that you should go. Amen? And I want you to pray about it and ask God about it. So we want you to pray about your support. And there's one other thing I want you to ask God about. I want you to ask God to raise up missionaries from this church. I don't think God is finished with North Point yet. I believe that there are other people that God wants to tell to go. And age is no difference. Age makes no problem about it at all. If you don't feel like you're called to go to missions, then you pray that God will raise up missionaries, that God will speak to somebody's heart. Maybe a young person. You feel like God is calling you to the mission field. Now is the time to answer that call and to make a commitment to it and begin ordering your life after those things that God is calling you to do. We're going to support you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to give you everything that you need mentally and spiritually to fulfill that call. But I want you to respond to that call. If God is calling you to be a missionary, you know, just say, Lord, send me. And if nothing else, just be open to it. Especially young people, I want you to pray this prayer. I want you to say, Lord, I don't know if you're calling me to missions or not, but I'm willing to go. I'm willing to go. And if you're calling me, make that call clear to me. I think that's so exciting that North Point is a missions sending organization. That's what we want you to do. That's what we're calling you to do. So we're going to close in just a minute. Before we do, I'd like you all to take out your pledge card. I'm not asking you to fill them out. I just want you to take it out. Hold it in your hands. Husband and wife, couples, you can share it together if you want. But I want you to take that out and just hold it in your hands right now. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God.